Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for tuning in. As most of you know, my wife, Katie, and I are traveling this year. We're going to be traveling probably until next year, July of 2018, mostly in Asia. But for now, we've still been in Europe. This week, I'm coming at you from lovely Suzdal in Russia. We're having a great time in Russia, and this week I have a guest for you named Natalia Klimova, and she is one of those lovely Russian people we've met in the last week or so. But before we get to our conversation, I want to tell you a little bit about how the last week went. Last time I talked at you, we were in St. Petersburg after having just crossed over the Russian border from Finland. Man, I forget what I said exactly last week about St. Petersburg, but it sure is a beautiful city. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself here, but it's truly an amazing place. I'm kind of surprised I didn't know more about it, hadn't heard more people talking about it, because the buildings there are, they're old, they're beautiful, they're huge. I mean, they're not really tall, but you might have like a four-story building that's about 80 feet tall. So each individual floor has these really high ceilings. It's just glamorous. And it's all along a river, really well lit at night. One night we went out to see the drawbridges being lifted. They from about 1 a.m. till maybe 5 or 6 a.m, they raise all these bridges that are kind of throughout the city, because St. Petersburg is on a river and it kind of winds around. And they do this so that the big ships can come in. But instead of doing it as the ships come in during the day, they just get it all done at night. I'm not sure exactly what that means if you're kind of stuck on the wrong side of the bridge. I don't know if maybe you can take a subway underneath the river. I don't quite get that. But it's kind of a big ceremony to see them being drawn and the big crowds gather at 1 a.m. And we went out there just to see what the hype was all about. It was interesting, if nothing else. They played this lovely music in the background even as the bridges were being lifted. And we saw a couple big ships come through. That was pretty cool. Anyway, the big theme of St. Petersburg, besides the beautiful buildings, was the rain. It just rained pretty much constantly for 4 days. That's kind of the only downside we've had so far in Russia. After that, we took an overnight train to Moscow, and this was a second-class cabin that we had gotten, but it was super nice. It was, I'd say, slightly better than Soft Sleeper in China. So second class in Russia is already a little bit better than the best class in China. Now, this was not a huge long train ride, only about 8 hours overnight. So when we woke up, we were already in Moscow, the giant capital of the biggest country on Earth. We're kind of getting over spending time in big cities. You know, we had been in Helsinki for a while, and then St. Petersburg, Moscow. Before that, we lived in Beijing. I mean, all these huge places. We kind of just wanted to get away, but we still spent a couple days in Moscow. I mean, you got to spend at least 2 days there, I'd say, just to kind of see the basic sights. One day we went to the Kremlin, or to the Red Square, and that was pretty interesting. I want to tell you a story about it. It's kind of nerdy, but I really wanted to go see Vladimir Lenin's corpse. As you probably know, his corpse has been preserved for a long time. I believe he died in 1924 of a giant aneurysm or a stroke of some sort. And they laid out his body for visitors to come and see. So people stood in line for days just to see their great leader who had just passed away. And the lines never seemed to dwindle. And eventually some people got the idea, well, maybe we should preserve this body for all time. Is that even possible? And no one really knew. So they looked into it. They got the best doctors on it. And they figured out some sort of technique to keep the body intact. And I think it's still kind of a secret, but they dip it in, I don't know, some sort of chemicals, and they have to keep treating it every now and then. And this, interestingly enough, this was against Lenin's own wishes. He wanted to be buried next to his mom in St. Petersburg. But he still is around, and I guess there's talks every now and then of finally burying him, but for whatever reason, he's still here. You can still go see him. The thing is, though, his body is only on display for a couple hours a day, and it's like 3 days a week, and that's it. So we only had one shot at this if we wanted to see it. And we had a couple other errands to run in the morning that were really important for our trip later on, like for our picking up train tickets was one thing we had to do. So we got to the Red Square area where Lenin is with only a little over an hour before he closed. And we figured out where the line went by basically going up to the mausoleum and just following the line of people all the way back. And I mean, it was a really long line. Hundreds and hundreds of people were in line. But I should jump back and say that as far as I know, there are four great communist leaders who have been preserved after they passed away. Lenin was the first one, of course. And then there's Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il from North Korea and Mao Zedong from China. And while living in Beijing, I went to Tiananmen Square once to see Chairman Mao. So I checked that one off. Then about a year and a half ago, Katie and I went to North Korea, and part of that trip was to go see their great leaders, Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. So I had gotten to see three of the four. So to do the quadrifecta, the only one left for me to see was Lenin. And I was really excited for this. And just kind of due to that bad planning, we only had about an hour before he closed. So this is kind of like, I know it sounds weird, but this is one of the top things that I really wanted to do in Russia. And I was kind of worried I wouldn't get to do it. So we followed this line all the way back, almost to the other side of the Red Square area. We had already gone through one security checkpoint, and we almost had to go outside of it again just to stand in line. So we got in line. I looked at the clock. It was 11:50 a.m., and he closed at 1 p.m., so an hour and 10 minutes is all we had. Now, but the thing is, I remembered from Chairman Mao that even though the line seemed really long, you're not allowed to just stand there and look at him. So, at least for Chairman Mao, I knew that much. You had to keep moving. You could shuffle forward very slowly, but you had to keep moving around his whole coffin or past it. And so the line actually moved fairly quickly. This line was a little bit different, though. There was a security area at the front, and a guard would let about 15 people through and stop the line. And those 15 people would then go through a security checkpoint. And once they were all done, the guard would let 15 more in. So the line kind of moved forward, then stopped, then moved forward, then stopped. So we went through this and we stood there and walked forward and kept kind of going forward. And there weren't any guards or anyone kind of making sure no one was jumping in line, but it looked like people were being pretty honest. There also weren't any guardrails or anything preventing people from coming in. Until we kind of got up to the front, and you could tell the line got a lot wider as we got closer to the front. So some of those people I don't think had been standing in line the whole time. But I'm brand new in Russia. I don't know the system. There was also kind of the secondary line with people trying to talk their way in, and I don't know exactly how that works again, but time was getting short. And there were probably 25, 30 people ahead of us, and I looked at the clock, and it was 10 minutes to 1. Okay, so we had been standing in line for an hour, and, well, I guess when we got in line, I thought maybe, just maybe, they're going to do this kind of the equitable way, which would be to have a guard jump in at the end of the line right at 1 o'clock. And then anyone who had already been in line, they got in. That's what I hoped would happen, but I could kind of tell that wasn't going to happen. The line behind me by this point was still huge. I mean, there were hundreds of people behind me, and it kind of looked like none of them were going to make it, but maybe we still would. And I was like, oh man, I hope I don't have to come back to Moscow just for this. I really hope I get to do it today. And they let in another group of like 15 people or so, but we weren't quite among that group. So there were a couple people in front of us. We're still waiting. And this one guy kind of jumped it right in front of me with his family. And he was a big dude with a shaved head. And he didn't look like the kind of guy I wanted to mess with. And I don't speak any Russian at all. And again, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. So I wasn't going to stop him. But it kind of looked like he was jumping ahead. And I'm like, oh, I don't like this guy. This isn't fair. Luckily, somebody else who was Russian kind of told him, hey, buddy, the line starts behind us. At least that's what I think he said. He said it all in Russian. And the guy finally left. So there were only a few people ahead of me. But it was about 5 minutes now to 1 o'clock. And it was like, okay, are they going to let us in? This is it. Like, we still might not make it. I still didn't quite understand when they were going to cut off the line. And all of a sudden, the guard just opened this gate, and he let through, instead of letting through like 15 people like he normally would, he let through about 50 until the whole security area was packed with people. And that was it. He closed off the fence behind him, and the other 300 people or whatever in line, they all got cut off. And so the people in the front of that area, God, I'd hate to be that last guy or the first one who got cut off, because that guy probably had been waiting for about an hour in line and just, nope, you're not going to do it today. And it's not like you could just come back tomorrow to see Lenin. You would have to wait like 4 more days and hopefully you'd still be in Moscow at that point. But we were in. I was pretty sure we were in at this point because we were in the security area at least. So they said, okay, I was super happy. But then they said, okay, form 3 lines. So we formed 3 lines. And we got in the middle one. And the security people, like this lady looked through one lady's purse or whatever, and then just kind of walked away with that person and didn't come back. And I was like, oh no, crap. There's only 3 minutes left. And the line to my left and the line to my right kept moving like really fast. They clearly just wanted to get this over with, the security people did. But my line had completely stopped. I was like, oh no, we're going to get kicked out of here. It's going to strike one and we're not going to make it in after all, even after all that. And I started to panic and jumped into the line next to me, hoping to get through that line. And then all of a sudden, a different security guard came back to the middle line. I'm so clueless. I had no idea what was going on. They're like, come on, go, go, go. So I went back to the middle line again with Katie, and they just did this quick, like, perfunctory check of all of our stuff, and we were in. And then it was kind of a weird hurry up and then slow down scenario, because suddenly we're definitely in now. It's like 3 minutes to one, and we got to walk outside next to the mausoleum. We saw the stone heads of all these great communist leaders, including Stalin himself. He was the biggest one of all. I was interested if they were going to put him on large display or not. And then we were led around the building. It's this giant, beautiful building with made of marble, I think. And we went inside, and it was really dark inside. There was no natural light. And we were led around kind of this maze of tunnels, for lack of a better term. And there were signs everywhere saying no pictures, no pictures, no pictures. And there were guards everywhere making sure no one took out their phone or whatever. And I mean, I knew this was going to be the case, no photography, because with the other 3 leaders I've seen, there was absolutely no photography either, except for in those cases, they wouldn't even let you bring a camera in. I think for Mao, maybe they made you turn off your phone, but for Mao, they wouldn't let you bring in a bag or anything. You had to leave it outside. And for the Kims, there was a serious security check. They patted you down and everything, basically just making sure you didn't have a camera. because I guess it's just really sensitive. I mean, you can go online and see what Lenin looks like. There are pictures of it, but whatever. They definitely know photography a lot. But at least we were allowed to carry our stuff in. We just couldn't use it, so we didn't have to find a spot to stash it. All right, so we kind of went past all these signs. It was totally dark, and then we got into this room, and it was really dimly lit, and I could see Lenin in his coffin. And he was sitting there, shaved head. Apparently they removed his brain, which I found out, and studied it for years to figure out where his source of genius came from. I don't know if they found out. Well, maybe I'll look into that. But I was kind of looking for the scar, like, where did they cut his head open? I don't know. It's kind of a macabre thing, I know, but I didn't see it. He actually looked pretty good for being dead almost a century. And his hands were folded over his chest. His lower half either wasn't there or was just completely covered. That was interesting. So we started out on his right side, walked along just very slowly. Everybody's head was always looking right at Lenin's head, walked slowly around to where his feet should have been, looked toward his head, and just kind of stared into those closed eyes of his. You know, I thought the other three leaders that I'd seen, I thought they looked a little bit, I don't know, not natural. Lenin, he was definitely dead. I can tell you that. I can confirm Vladimir Lenin's no longer with us, but he looked still pretty natural. I was a little surprised by that. And the other three leaders had, they kind of had their heads propped up on circular or like tube-shaped pillows. And all three of them, I was like, oh man, they're going to get a stiff neck like that. But Lenin didn't have that. So there's just these little subtle differences between the four great leaders. So then we walked around Lenin's left side, saw him for another 30 seconds or so. Maybe it's about a 2-minute experience that I had waited in line for, an hour and 10 minutes to go see. And then we were out of the room, turned a couple more corners, and then we were back outside. And that was it. But I was so happy. I just kind of felt like my life was complete because I've got the complete set of communist leaders in my memory now. So I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy. Afterward, we saw this amazing horse show at the Red Square. Those guys were awesome. I'm finishing up my pictures of it right now. I'll put some on my website on the show notes for this podcast, which of course, as usual, you can find at 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. And otherwise in Moscow, we hung out with a lot of couch surfers, a lot of really cool people in Moscow. They have a really thriving couch surfing community. We were only there for a couple days, but we had a lot of fun, greatly enjoyed it. From there, yesterday, we took a high-speed train out to a city called Vladimir, which, if you look at a map of Russia, looks pretty close to Moscow in the grand scheme of things. It's a couple hours to the east of the big city. And then we caught a bus to a little village called Suzdal. We found an awesome guest house here with this lady who doesn't speak a word of English and we don't speak any Russian, but she was really helpful, I mean, nonetheless. So we're staying in her house. I almost wish we had more time to relax here because it's such a nice, quaint little village. We had a lunch at this lovely little restaurant today. I'm really liking it here too. So from there, I just want to move on to talking about Russia a little bit. I feel almost embarrassed because, like any country I go to, it's always a little different when I actually see it than what I thought it would be. But I understand that what you learn from reading the news, that's not reality. I mean, it's okay, the news maybe doesn't completely lie about a place, but they're only going to tell a narrative that they want to tell. they're going to stick within that framework. And the reason they do that is to tell a story that people want to read. And people love reading negative things about other places. I mean, so if you're American and you hear bad things about another country, look, it's not like it's completely false, but reality isn't so simple. And I mean, Katie and I found this out totally in China because we loved living in Beijing. It was awesome. We're heading back there pretty soon. We're going to see a lot of our friends. We're going to spend a bit more time in China. China's been really great for us. Russia also just has this bad reputation in the media. And I think we're kind of spoon-fed this narrative that Russians are these alcoholics and they just drink vodka all day and they're miserable and the men are just huge, beefy, muscular dudes, weigh like 250 pounds and just want to kick your ass. And everybody's rude and mean. And I mean, none of this has been true at all for us. That's completely wrong. I mean, I'm still trying to process this, how different this country seems now that I'm in it versus what I expected. I've loved it here. It's been amazing. We've only been here like a week, okay, but it's been amazing. We've got about 3 weeks to go. The people have been overwhelmingly helpful to us. So many people have pointed out like where we need to walk or like kind of ask basic questions, where can we buy this or that. So helpful. And we've had some people who, like couch surfers especially, who they've helped us even more. Basically, my impression from being here is almost entirely positive. So even I, as this seasoned traveler, I've been to so many places, I kind of understood what they used to call at least the CNN effect, where what you see on the news isn't really reality. Even I kind of got suckered into it. And I'm telling you, it's not like that here. We've only been to the bigger European cities in Russia, but it just kind of feels like Europe to us. If there's big cities with large outdoor cafes, with large old buildings and friendly people. All right, enough about that. I hope to keep on gushing positive reviews of Russia as our time here continues. I think the way I'm going to run this podcast for the near future is I'm going to tell a story or two at the beginning, and then hopefully we'll have a guest on every week. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that or not, but we'll see. This week, though, I definitely do have a guest. Once again, her name is Natalia Klimova. She is from St. Petersburg, and right now she's doing free tours of the city. If you're interested in going on one of her tours, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at high noon at the main square outside of the Hermitage Museum is where she meets her tour group. She carries an umbrella that says free tours on it. It's pretty easy to find her. And we really enjoyed meeting Natalia and hearing about the country and her own home, hearing about some of the history, because, wow, there's so much history in Russia. So I would definitely recommend going. Definitely recommend meeting up with her if you have that opportunity. If you're in Finland, it's only like a 3-hour train ride. And you know what? I learned you can take a ferry from Helsinki into St. Petersburg. It's an overnight ferry. And I think you get like 2 or 3 days to spend in St. Petersburg and then take the same ferry back to Helsinki. And to do that, you don't need a visa. And you can sign up for this through the ferry company. And it's actually quite cheap, very affordable. I think they even include a hotel and everything. Visa-free travel to Russia. At least you kind of get to dip your toes in if you're already in Finland. So that's pretty awesome. Anyway, Natalia was a very fun person to talk to. Let's listen to what she has to say as we jump into our conversation. I found a Russian, I've only been here a couple days, but yeah. The people don't seem to smile much at strangers. Well, you do a lot. You're always smiling.
You know, like, I don't know why, but actually this is like something about Russian mentality, you know, like we seem cold, but this, all these things just because from our past, you know, was Soviet Union time, like when people like, actually, I will never smile at you because you're a stranger, because people are kind of, like I told you before, like people in Russia kind of suspicious. And at the same time, like, really, we believe in everything and, like, really, we're scared of these things. Like, we're scared of when we will smile at someone, it's going to be a sign of bad luck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Like, for some people, but the most part of people, like, actually don't smile because they don't know you. Like, they're, like, really shy and they don't want to seem, like, really too crazy. Actually, if you see someone smiling in the street, for Russians, like, sign of you being not real, not natural. You
know? Okay,
like,
yeah.
So they're just like, okay, you just fake and you just keep playing. And I'm like, no way.
It makes total sense. I mean, Americans are always smiling at everybody, people they've never met all the time. It's totally normal.
This is a thing, you know, but this is the biggest difference. Yeah, I think, like, if you would talk to a lot of Russians, they would say, like, oh, well, Americans fake and all these things, you know, and that's weird.
Yeah, I even read that McDonald's, when they opened here, had to train the people to smile.
Yes.
It was very difficult to get them to smile.
Yeah, because people here feel that it's real, not something, like, unreal.
Sure.
So when you look at you, like, you know, smiling, they're trying to find what's behind the smiles. They think that you're trying to fool them, you know, like trying to steal someone. So I'm thinking, this is the truth. But if you travel somewhere to countryside, like in small villages, that's amazing because people there are really open-hearted and they smile a lot.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, so just...
So we're going to take the Trans-Siberian across Russia, so hopefully we'll see some of these small villages, stop in a few smaller places.
You know, I think you will. Just like, actually, yeah, like this is the truth. When you travel somewhere like in the east or like a little bit north, like, yeah, like it's colder, so people don't smile at all sometimes. But at the same time, like as soon as you just start talking to them, they will be like really helpful and will try their best to help you.
Uh-huh.
And that's amazing.
Do people speak English? Do many people speak English, I should say?
Just trying, you know, like really. Yeah. Okay, let's be honest. Even when you go to Moscow, you will not find lots of people speaking English. And this is weird because the most part of Russians do understand English. But they're really too shy to speak.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, I tried it before probably, but Russian people are really scared of, of the fact that they can seem... really bad in something. So we're always trying to show up. We're trying to show only good things that we can do.
Yeah.
And in this case, for sure, if you don't speak English that well, like really, so you're scared of speaking.
Yeah, it's a paradox. Like the only way to get better is to make the mistakes.
Yeah.
And a lot of, this happens in China too a lot. People just won't try because they're afraid of making the mistakes. They won't do it until they're perfect, but they'll never be perfect because they don't do it.
Yeah, sure. You know, like, and I think I've met this a lot in Egypt.
Egypt also. Too?
Yeah, oh. Because, you know, like, for example, when you go to, like, Cairo, no one there speaks English. All of them, they do, but they speak in, like, really weird ways, so sometimes it takes time to understand them. But at least they try.
Oh, okay. They're willing to try it?
Yeah, okay. You know, I just mean, like, for example, in, like, touristic places like Sharm el-Sheikh or Hurghada, for sure they speak Italian, they speak English, they speak Spanish, because it's, like, more touristic places. But as soon as you move somewhere, like Alexandria or Cairo, no one does. And you're just like, oh, my God, it's crazy. That's why you actually have to try to speak Arabic to them.
Yeah,
and the thing is, like, you know, we live in, like, in 21st century when you can use all the technologies. But they don't read. This is the thing. Sometimes you come up to like Arabic person, like Egyptian one, and even like using Google Translate, and like, come on, can you read? Like, can you answer like in Arabic? And they're just like, we don't read. And you're like, oh.
They don't read Arabic either.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's really, it was strange, you know. It was me and my friend, we actually had a funny situation. We've been actually trying to find furniture. And it's like, it actually was written by Arabic, by all the way, like it's theater, but I don't read, okay, I can understand, but Unfortunately, I still cannot read, like, only with Franco-Arabic, you know, like, when they use Latin alphabet and, like, some numbers, so that's weird, but, like, this way, okay. But traditional one, not. So we've been staying next to this theater for over 1 hour, because no one couldn't, like, help us a bit, because it's, like, actually the theater located in, like, poorest area in Cairo. It's, like, huge market, and people there speak only Arabic, but none of them read. So it was like really took 1 hour for us to understand that actually we were standing during all this time next to this theater.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was kind of like really strange things, and I'm like, okay, so.
That's pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
So what brought you to Egypt? How'd you get there?
It was kind of a challenge for me, you know, like let's be honest, I was only like 23 and it was a goal, and everyone around kept saying that Egypt is not safe enough, and for the most part of Russians, Egypt is still like only a touristic place, so where you can go, drink, have fun, and that's it. So when I just first time went there, I fell in love, you know, I just fell in love with this country. It's something incredible, it's something that I couldn't like, expect from this place.
Huh. Just. Well, why did you go? Did you just travel there or go to live there?
I just like, actually, it was like, call it like a challenge for myself, because I met British guys, they were working there, like animation, and they were like, okay, you will never come back here, because I told them like, okay, I would have tried some kind of job like this, like just got my normal job, like well paid job here in Russia, and just go there just for experience. Like, he will never be like, see you in 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks I just went there. It was interesting for
me. So you found a job there?
Yeah, like at the beginning I was working like animation. I think like actually the most part of people start working there is animation.
Like
animators.
Animating.
It was cool, and for me it let me meet a lot of incredible people. I just mean like people from all over the world that came there for work or like for even their vacation, and you know, for me it's like really great experience.
Do you have examples of your art that I can look at online?
You know, like actually I have something like on my like dance things, like, because actually I'm a dancer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I made some like some plays there. That's really pretty cool. That's one of the best experiences that I had there for this.
Oh, cool. You'll have to share your website with me, and then I can put it on my website. We can put up a link.
No, like really, it's like it's not even a website, because I'm like, okay. Lots of Russians do dance, so.
That's true. Yeah, it's famous for dancing.
Yeah, and I think you've seen already a lot of people like actually dancing and doing all those things. And I'm like, okay.
I've seen a lot of musicians on the streets, busking here, but not just like a guy with a guitar, like a whole band with loudspeakers and everything, very loud. And attracting large crowds. Even the drums, I couldn't believe it. They brought out a whole drum set and guitars and everything on the street. That was cool.
You know, like, that's really something amazing. But, like, really keep amazing me all the time. Before I started traveling, I didn't put that much attention for these things. I was like, okay, like, it was normal for me. But as soon as I started traveling, and I've seen that it's not that usual for even Europe to see, like, whole musicians, like music bands, like everywhere. So now I'm just walking around. I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
It's cool. It's a great reason to travel, just because you come back to your country and then you see it in a totally different way. You can see it from the outsider's perspective.
That's true, you know. Like, really, I just think I have fallen in love with Russia like more and more. Like, since I came back, I'm like, whoa.
Huh.
Really.
So how long were you in Egypt?
3.5 years.
Oh, a long time.
Yeah. So
like, did you end up learning Arabic there?
Yeah, actually, I can speak Arabic, but unfortunately not traditional one, but I wanted to speak, like, on the Egyptian way.
Oh, it's different like, than it's the like, kind of standard way?
Yeah, you know, but anyway, okay, I can understand people, but it takes time. So I'm just like, okay, can I speak a little bit slower? Because as soon as they get what you understand even a little bit, they start speaking really fast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way, please. Just like speak a little bit slower. And yeah, in this case, I can understand them.
Okay.
But that's great, you know, it's something incredible. Like, it makes me feel that, it's like, it's nothing impossible in this life.
Right, learning the language, it's a cool feeling just once you start getting it.
Yeah, but you know, like I wish that I had more Arabic speaking here speakers, because like yeah, they have some, but they start learning Russian or they start learning English out here.
Sure.
So they're like, no, we don't want to speak Arabic, and I'm like, come on, I know what it's like. It's really just for sharing, just one word, please.
Right, right. So no ability to practice then.
Yeah, so like in this case, I have to go there, like probably back to visit some of my friends. So sometimes I have to call my friends and like, come on, speak Arabic to me. And they're like, okay, like as you want.
Yeah, do you want to move back to that part of the world at some point?
You know, just like sometimes, just mean I've met incredible people. And sometimes when I feel low here, because like it's still like it wasn't that long for me to come back here. Like it's only like around 8 months.
Okay.
And because I have not that many people traveling the world around me nowadays. Yeah, just like, I just mean, why I'm really appreciate the things that I'm doing now, like about this guide things, you know, like because even this girl who organized this company, she was one of some people who really understood me, because she was like, okay, I know what I feel lost in this case, so it's, why not? We can try to help like foreigners discover your country. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Because in this case, I keep exchanging my experience with different people, you know, because the same way, like, I met you, like, during this free walking tour, so it's like...
Yeah, we just met 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And, on a tour, like, we just did a walking tour with you, and
it was
great. We learned a lot about Russia, a lot about St. Petersburg, especially, and the history. And
I'm glad to hear that.
It was cool, yeah. I hope you can keep it up. Is this your full-time job then, or do you have another job here?
No, apparently I'm just doing these guiding things, doing like a whole time, like 24/7. I just like, because I told you before, like we're doing these tours like 4 times per week, but the rest of the week we keep doing like some other tours.
Oh, okay. So you have a bunch of different tours that you do?
Yeah, like, you know, like about, it's one of the most like incredible for me, like, and my like the best and favorite ones, like actually back to USSR. It's like really cool because I'll be honest with you, I really love this time. I just mean, yeah, I was born right in like when it ended already, but it was something incredible. It's like, that's really cool when you can show in one city how it changed, you know, even architecture, like to change from like 18th century, 19th century to 21st. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
It's true. A lot of the architecture that we've seen so far seems to be 19th century.
Yeah, like it's the beginning, like I told you, like it's the most part of downtown, like actually 18th century.
Oh, 18th.
Wow. But for example, like in the place where we're sitting now, like it's actually started like in 1704, so it's actually like 18th century.
Sure.
But we're now sitting like in between, like of, you know, like Admiralty and St. Isaac, so it's like right in between 18th and 19th century. So that's incredible, something cool about St. Petersburg. You just can walk through centuries.
Totally. It's something we don't really have in the U.S. I mean, if something's 100 years old, it's really old.
Yeah.
Most things are much newer.
But no, that's really, you have completely different things, like a different mind, and that's great, you know, and just like really, it's something that should be shared with everyone. Because you know about all these things when people just don't care about. Is it, just for example, you could know that I'm Russian and say, okay, you're Russian, I know everything about you. The same, like, oh, you're like you're from America or Canada, okay, whatever, France, I know everything. No, but like the only one way, like when you communicate, when you talk to each other.
That's right. Yeah, you don't know somebody till you know them.
Yeah, but
just knowing where they're from isn't enough.
Yeah, but you know
I
about
totally
these like stereotypes, you know all these things, and like I'm pretty sure that you've got some stereotypes about Russia before you came here, because like really we live in like social media world, like when people keep sharing some weird news, you know, like about Russia, about USA, about this Cold War that keep going, and I'm just like, okay, guys, like really, it's true, we had this period of time, but nowadays like real Russia isn't, but 19th century country anymore. Like we also live in 21st century. Yeah, but a little bit back. But anyway, like it's cool to share because we have something to share all the time.
Sure.
Like same. Like I've known lots of things from people who joined the tours. Like really, I'm like, whoa. Like even I told you today about this Italian guy, this Italian, like a Spanish, and all them been traveling, and that's incredible. And
they've been traveling all over, all over Europe, or?
Yeah, you know, like I've met two Spanish girls, and they actually been doing their like volunteer job, and like in one city called Chibaksaru. Like it's actually like smaller city than Moscow, St. Petersburg, and it was really surprising for me. I would say even shocked. Like, I was shocked. I was like, oh, really? You actually went to this kind of cities? I'm like, yeah, we've been surprised. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And they've been teaching our kids Spanish and English, and that's really great, yeah.
Oh, it's too bad we didn't go today then. These sound like interesting people to meet.
Yeah, you know, like, but I told you, like, you can meet with people everywhere, sometimes you don't expect. I'm like, oh, that's why actually the first question that I really keep asking people around, why did you come to Russia? What did you bring here? Like, really, because that's great. That's like, I never expect to hear something, you know, like, actually, I've been surprised about you because you've been traveled, you know, I've been living in different countries, and it's really amazed me all the time when people can travel and keep traveling and keep discovering this world. They'll never stop. And that's really cool.
Right. That's right. Never stop. I mean, and a huge reason I go somewhere is I see it on the news and I know that's not right. I know the news is only showing you like one small thing, kind of like what you were saying. And I mean, China too has a really bad reputation internationally, but I lived there for 3 years and it was great. It was just such a good experience living there. Katie and I are going back there soon, and so our own experience is completely different than what you would see in the media. And so I hope that, you know, I hope that happens in Russia too. It's a great reason to come here.
You know, like, actually one day, probably, like, you know, no one knows, and like, I'm kind of happy that we've got this FIFA Cup coming up next year, so it's really cool because people start traveling and about all these visa things, but actually it's visa free for the next year, so you can come, and that's really cool.
What's visa free?
Like, actually any country with like having a FIFA Cup, you just need to buy one ticket to any game, like, actually, so, and you can come here without visa, like, it's actually for 1 month and keep traveling.
That's possible now?
Yeah.
Oh, for any nationality?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard of this.
Like, that's really cool. And even this year, we had this Confederation Cup. So, and lots of people like came here without any visas. So they just like, they bought ticket for football match. And they're like, okay, they never even show up, you know. But they kept traveling across Russia for like 1 month. And that was cool. It was something incredible. And that's why I actually hope that people will come here. Like,
oh, wow. I'll have to look this up and find a link to it. I haven't heard of this.
So, like, but you can just check with, like, you know, FIFA website.
Yeah.
So they really they keep they keep writing about this, and I'm like, oh, because I hadn't known about this also. But this year, when we just met some people, and we're like, okay, we got no problems with visa because we didn't need one. And I'm like, whoa, really? And when they told me about these things, I kept checking, and I'm like, yes.
Huh. So, that's on your website? You have info?
Yeah.
What's your website?
Like, it's unitedtours.org, so you can find it.
Unitedtours.org?
Yeah,
okay.
Like, that's why it spreads, actually, everything what you can find there about our tours, about our, like, all events coming up.
Oh, sounds great. Okay, yeah, I'll check that out. Because Katie and I did, we got our visas for Russia. We applied when we were in China. It wasn't too hard. There's just a lot of paperwork, but otherwise it was fine.
Yeah, but you know, like, you're actually a lucky one, because if you stayed in USA, it took a lot longer. Just like, you know, got surprised when, like, in whole, like, you've got 51 states, yeah, and like, and you can apply Russian visa only 6 of them.
Like, oh, probably only where there's a consulate or an embassy.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, because, like, otherwise you have to, like, pay a lot, you know, like around $200-$250, like, and actually, like, otherwise just send your passport, like, but, like, and just, that's crazy.
Right. Typically, it'd be just, you'd have to live in one of the biggest cities to do it in your own city.
Yeah.
For us, it'd probably be Chicago, which is like a 2-hour drive from where I live.
Oh, okay. So that's not bad, you know.
Not like, too bad, but
it takes time.
It takes time. It's there's a lot of, what do you call it, tolls? You have to pay $20 just to be on the road. And then park your car. You probably spend another $20 on that, maybe more.
Okay.
And then, so it adds up. It becomes a pretty big expense. And then if you have to stay overnight in a hotel, then it's lot of money.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's not. It's pretty inconvenient to go for us to go to Chicago to apply for a visa. Actually.
Like, you know, it's only if you would like to travel there, you know.
Yeah, it was great being in Beijing, though, because that's the capital, and so the Russian embassy was a 10-minute walk for me. It's no problem.
Well, that's great, you know, like, that's something amazing, because for now we just have to apply to American visa, we have to go to Moscow, because, like, for the, like, last days, I think they canceled, like, they closed the embassy here in St. Petersburg, so actually, we have to go to Moscow, and I'm like,
oh, no.
Okay, no problems.
And that's an 8-hour train ride, huh?
Yeah, like, you know, a train or as a flight, but, like, you have to, like, actually catch the best price, yeah. Like, you know, like, price catcher or something like this, because, like, really, sometimes it's really incredibly expensive.
Huh.
It's like, as I told you before, like, for sometimes lots of Russians keep traveling all around the world, because it was, like, way less expensive than traveling inside our own country.
Yeah.
But, like, nowadays, like, it's getting better, but anyway, like, really, it's something weird. Like, comparing, for example, if you have choice, go to Spain or go to, like, travel across Russia, the most part of people would say, I would go to Spain.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They'd rather go to Spain?
You know, why not? I would like to travel across Russia. I just realized that it's really, really weird, because I've been traveling, like, around, but I hadn't been traveled enough. Like inside my own country, and that's really beautiful. It's something incredible, but...
Huh, have you taken the train across Russia ever?
You know, like, I took it, but actually I've been traveling from north to south. So
apparently,
like, this, like, Arkhangelsk, all these things, like, it's northern point, and, like, yeah, but these things would actually...
Down to Sochi, or that area?
Yeah. So these things, yeah. But, like, really... It's kind of my dream to go to Baikal also, like, really, it's like, because it's cool, and I hope that this year I will go there, even, like, during winter time. I don't care when, I just want to go.
That'd be cool. It'd be cool to walk on it, on the ice.
Yeah.
Apparently it's, the ice gets very, very thick. I guess you can drive over Lake Baikal.
Yeah, you know, this is, like, it really surprised me, because this year we have some tour, like, for photographers coming up, and one of the guys who actually helps us a lot, he's like, okay, we would take cars, and we're like, okay, we can drive over ice. He was like, yeah, for sure, it's a Baikal, and I'm like, forward it. So yeah. I kept checking the internet, and realized that yes, like, really the same, like, in Norway, you know, because all the time I kept checking about Norway, or, like, and about frozen seas there, but here I'm like, okay, I have Baikal right next to me, why not?
Right, and if you look at the map, to go from Irkutsk to Ulan-Ude, you save a lot of time if you drive over the lake. It cuts the distance probably in half.
Yeah.
Huh. And you know, the last person I did a podcast with, she was from Kamchatka.
Oh, that's really my another dream place, you know. Like,
oh,
it's incredible.
Sounds beautiful. She's not even from the big town.
Yeah.
She's from a little town in Kamchatka, a few hundred people.
And then
there's no roads going to it. It's like, whoa, that's way out there.
You know, like, this is something about Russia. Like, for example, now we're, like, in St. Petersburg, and, like, almost, like, real normal city, you know, just regular city. But as soon as you start traveling, like, down the east, you just, wow, like, really, it's nature, and not a lot of people. And that's great. That's something that you can feel peaceful, and, you know, like, real, completely different.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that from the train. Katie and I will go to Moscow for a few days, starting tomorrow night. So we'll be there in 2 days. And then from there, it's just going to be nature.
Yeah, that's cool. And I just hope that we will see a lot of, like, friendly people, you know, even in the train.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because, like, you know, nowadays, it's, like, it's a really funny thing, because a lot of foreigners start taking this train. And the most part of people who you can meet there, like, as foreigners, so they're not even Russians. So, like, everyone, like, okay, great experience. But that's cool anyway. Like,
oh, it's mostly foreigners who take these?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, like, you know, I just think when as soon as someone just decides to travel all across Russia, like, it's different type of people. So they're like, they're okay. It's like, really, how many people do you know, like, who decided to travel by train across Russia? Like, I know just a few, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the kind of romantic aspect of it. Just the idea that you can take a train for that long of a distance. And I would really not want to just fly over the whole thing.
Yeah?
That's not my style. Not at all.
Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, like, that's cool, you know, like, it's something, like, really totally different. Yeah, you can fly just probably in, like, 3 days, and just to go from St. Petersburg to Vladivostok, for example, it takes 7 days. And, like,
sure.
It's time zone changing, and that's crazy. But, like, you know, it's something incredible. I just mean, like, I had never met someone upset after this trip, so, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, one of my friends was, like, actually, like, officer, she's my boss, but she just came back from Trans-Siberian Railway, and she was like, yay, I want to go back. And like, so she's coming back at the end of September already.
She's doing it one more time?
Yeah, like, because she's like really, she fell in love, and even this time she wants to go to Sakhalin, to like really to another part, to another like actually island right in between Japan and Russia, so it's really cool.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow, that's way out there.
Yeah, it's like, it's incredible, you know, just something new and something completely different. And
totally.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. So before, you were telling me about superstitions. I'm curious about this. What are some of the other superstitions you have in Russia that people, not you, but Russian people have?
You know, like really, all people here, okay, at first we don't smile, we don't trust a lot of, but it changed, you know, like if you look back like 20 years ago, people left their door open in the flats. I just mean they could go for a walk and like left their door open. And if your neighbors had no phone, they could come inside your flat, just call. that's really something cool, but nowadays no. Everyone keep closing everything, they keep closing doors, they keep closing everything, like you can't take dogs, you know, like just okay.
Oh, so you lock your doors now?
Yeah. No, like, but really, I just think it's like, yeah, it's normal, but when I realized when, like, for example, my parents got raised in other conditions, so, like, they were okay with it, like, actually, they trust a lot, you know, like, that's really, actually, thing that we lost already, so, like, to trust to each other. But, like, it's about Russians, you know, like, as I told you, like, Russian people, like, really would like to make a wish everywhere. And all
things, wishing for good luck all the time?
Yeah, you know, like, everywhere, like, even in our city, every single meter, you know, you can make a wish everywhere. That's mean, like, it just, you can stop any local and he'll tell, okay, you can make a wish even, like, next to this wood. And everyone, like, what? Like, this wooden door or, like, this tree or this bush. And I'm like, okay.
It's a magical tree or something?
Yeah, you know, like, and people keep, coming up with stories of it. So they're like, okay, let's create a story. Why not?
I remember we wished on the feet of these statues of guys holding up the roof.
Atlas.
That was supposed to be Atlas.
Yeah.
Ah, I missed that part. Okay, got it. That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's why they were carrying the sky, and actually, like, yeah, we actually make a wish. And it's totally, like, it's really one of the most romantic places also, like, so people still keep on, like, meeting there if they cannot arrange their dates. That's really cool. It's something, like, for old style, like, it's something that we miss in our life. I think while traveling, like, walking around, you could see lots of places where, like, people just sit or making a wish or keep this chair or, like, actually take this hand or grab this thing or, like, throw a coin somewhere. So it's about Russians.
Yeah, you see a lot of that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. You pointed out the smallest statue in St. Petersburg, and people were throwing coins at it.
Yeah, this is, like, really, when I tell you, it's Chizhik-Pizhik, it's, like, really cool. It's like a kind of Russian casino, you know, like, we spent all our money there.
Right.
Like, and actually, I've got one of my friends, and he went here, and in 1 week, he spent over $100. Because he was like, come on, I just need to, like, to have a luck. And I'm like, you're crazy.
He spent $100 throwing coins at the one statue, or many?
No, it's like one, because this Chizhik-Pizhik was the hardest one for him. And he's like, okay, like, I would like to, and I'm like, no way. And
He's trying to get a coin to land on it?
Yeah.
Oh, and he went through $100.
Yeah.
And not one coin landed on it?
No.
Wow. Okay, so it's pretty hard to do that.
You know, like, really, and I just mean, I meant a lot of people who can do it from a first try.
Really?
I'm this kind of people who not, I'm not able to do these things. I'm just like, that's why I'm like, I can throw like 1 ruble, 2 rubles.
No problem. Then.
I'm like, okay, like, it's really, it seems fun, but like for me, I will never, my coin will never land it on foundation, and like, okay.
And what happens? Does somebody go and pick up all those coins from the river?
You know, like, apparently, like, some people would like dive in there, and
because it's just a river, it's not a fountain or anything.
Yeah, it's like, it's actually like a really big river, like, and you see, like, it's like really, like, it's not calm at all. So, like, it's actually, and we got lots of boats now, and like, really, so now for 5 years ago, we put like a metallic boat under the statue, so all the coins there. But people anyway keep diving there. Like, it's kind of challenge, you know. I told you about that. This statue has been stolen for a lot of times.
Yeah, how many times?
Like it's around 10, you know.
10 times it's been stolen.
So the King of Kingdoms, like it's really tiniest one, is one of the most expensive because really it's kept, like it has to be replaced.
Oh, okay. So they don't catch the person who stole it and then put it back?
No,
or they,
no, you
they
know,
they just make a new one.
Yeah, it's like it's made a new one, you know. It's like really, it's like strange. And that's really kind of magic when you know that someone here, like around like 9 people for sure, just walking around and they're holding this statue back at their houses. That's a crazy thing to think about. But I'm like, okay.
So totally true. Strange. Yeah, they could just put coins right on the statue then.
Yeah. But no, you know, like it's not about these things. But this is like we're trying to make everything more difficult than it is, you know, like probably before, just like you could throw coin like just in the river to like a sign of coming back. But now, just you need to make a wish and like and do your best.
Like where I'm from, a lot of people, well, not a lot, some of the most common things that get stolen are signs, like street signs. So people steal, especially funny street names. So there's a street called Bong, and people steal Bong Street. And there's one, I think there's one called Mullet, and people like to steal that sign. So they put up a new sign, and then someone takes it.
That's crazy.
I know, and I don't know what they do. It's just kids. They put it in their bedroom, maybe.
No, but it actually sounds cool.
I guess so. I guess, until you get caught. Then they start putting cameras up, and then... And then you get in trouble.
But you know, I think that it like really, it never helps, you know, like it never stops anyone. I just mean like, yeah, like probably some kind of people will be standing around, okay, I will never steal anything anymore. But like some people are like, okay, challenge is accepted, you know.
Right, yeah, the real kleptomaniacs out there will never rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before you were telling me about Trinidad and Tobago, why are you interested in those countries?
No, it's like really one of like my dream countries, and you know, I'll be honest with you, when I've heard about this at first I was something like 12, maybe 14, when I was learning English, and apparently Trinidad and Tobago is one of 8 English speaking countries in all over the world, but actually like its national language is English.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but what is this? But when I turned 16 and it was FIFA Cup playing, you know, and I was like, and I've seen this their football team for the first time in my life, and actually I think it was the first time for them to play in this World Cup, and I was like, whoa, this is a sign for me to go. And I just like really after this I started reading about this a lot. This country is just truly amazing, you know, like it's not a really rich country. And some people, like I know that lots of Russians that come in there just like for like relaxing holiday, but no way. I've seen like people are smiling there, and that's really cool. They smile even they have some hard times, and it's beautiful, you know. And this part, you know, it makes me crazy, but the one part of your country, like it's actually in between South and North America, and second one just like tiny island. So I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. So you went there too?
No, like actually not
yet. You haven't been there.
Yeah, but I just really want, and I'm like, okay, that's really crazy for me. Like,
I could almost see it. I was in Venezuela, and it's right next to Venezuela.
Oh goodness!
I think you might even be able to see the island from the mainland at some point. I didn't quite see it.
But no, I think that's really incredible. You know, it's like something that makes me crazy. You know, like, whoa, like really, like island, and like it's like just something different. And to this part, like Trinidad is completely different from Tobago. You know, like all of them, like these two parts in one country, and like really different. One of them like almost relaxing, the second one is like one of the most dangerous places.
Oh really?
So yeah, because you can jump from rock to ocean.
Uh-huh.
And this is like apparently the kind of entertainment that they're doing there.
Oh, like cliff jumping?
Yeah, like.
Oh, okay.
But for me, I'm just like, okay, why not? Like, actually, for me, I just would like to see those things. You know, I think it's something different. And just like I told you before, I really like traveling into poor countries, so kind of poor countries, so even like Cuba. But like, it's really cool.
Yeah, what's Cuba like?
You know, it's like something. I will just try to discover it. It's something like, you know, colorful book. Like you open every single day, you can open a new page, and you never expect like something what you would see. Like just like
you never know what you'll see.
Yeah,
it's always something cool.
Yeah, no, like all these people smiling. For me, Cuba is like it's a dancing country. They really dance everywhere. It doesn't matter how old are you. Like you can actually like one or maybe you're 90, but you will dance.
Like, wow.
And also them playing some music instruments, and I'm like, whoa, like actually they can dance even like if it's just windy, and they're like, oh, can you hear me? And I'm like, what? Like, this is music coming up. And I'm like, okay, that's great. So all of them are dancing, and even like it's really poor country, and they have really strange things. I don't know what's going on there now. Like, I've been there like 5 years ago, but like really, I think it's something in their mentality would never change. So like really, they keep smiling, and it doesn't matter what have you got in your life. It can be really hardest time in your life, or like it can be the best one. But anyway, they keep smiling, and they keep bringing like good emotion and good vibes. I just mean you feel really relaxed there. Just that's incredible.
Sounds awesome. Did you travel across the whole country?
You know, like really, I've just been all the time all along the coast. So like it's really, I hadn't been traveled like that much. You know, like. But the thing that I've seen, like really, Havana, is, for example, is really incredible because I hadn't expected something like this. I just mean, like really, they have some islands. It's like also been included like in Cuba area, and it's really something incredible because to go there you have to take plane, and this plane is like old USSR time, like planes from Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And actually, like here we call them like. Onto something like this, and it's actually like they're already broken, so they're really old, but they keep flying, and you just you like keep thanking God, like actually, but you're still alive.
Wow, did you fly from Russia all the way to Cuba?
Like, apparently, I just went to Turkey, and like I'm from Turkey, from Istanbul, actually. I just
Istanbul to Havana,
yeah.
Oh, okay,
that's cool, you
on
know,
an like, old Soviet plane,
yeah. Like, you know, like I just think like here, we're just like from Russian ones, but. Actually, like you've been like on really old ones also, and I'm like, well, that's strange.
Yeah, was it a propeller plane?
No, thanks God, no. You know, but I really they keep using these things like in Cuba, like different like to travel from one part of country to another.
Okay.
So like they use the travel, it's like they use these old ones, and I'm like, oh, really? Like, does it still work? And like, yeah, it's working. Not that good, but I'm like, okay, but at least it does.
Cuba strikes me as one of those countries that they just fix everything. They're really good at fixing
yeah.
stuff and not throwing things away.
You know, I was surprised when I've seen lots of old cars, you know, like, and really they keep fixing everything.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, this car from Italy. And I'm like, yeah, they're like from 1930s or something like this. And I'm like, whoa, it's like already been over 70 years. So like, it's really old. And they're like, yeah, but like, we cannot throw it out. Like, like, yeah, we need to fix.
Can't get a new one, I guess.
Yeah, you know, like, I just, I don't know, like, it's not really expensive. I just like, okay, I mean, it's not really, maybe it's not expensive for us when you travel, but when you live there, like, it might be really expensive because their salaries is like, it's not really high.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this case, like, really, people face lots of problems, you know, like, their houses don't look pretty new, you know, they need to be renovated, and sometimes they have no air conditions, and you can imagine, like, it's really hot.
I imagine it's very hot all the time there.
Yeah, and they've got like actually no air conditioning inside, and you're just like, okay, like, and what can you do? Like, okay, why not? Like, we have no money. Yeah, like, okay, but you can fix, and so they keep fixing all the things, and like they use their imagination a lot. You know,
sure.
I've seen there are lots of things that I had never seen in my life, and I'm like, really? And like, yeah, this, like, for example, they have something under the sun, like actually, like sun protection.
Uh huh.
That's really incredible. They just close their windows sometimes with like a bad ship. And that's really cool. And I've never seen it like here in Russia. We don't use these things of like this type of things.
They did what? Close their window? For...
Yeah, by like bad shit, you know, like actually.
Oh, like guano?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, like really, and they, like, they have like wooden sticks like to actually to fix it. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, that fixes their windows.
Yeah, so and it was like I was surprised, you know.
Oh my God, huh?
So in this case, the same, like when it's like really windy, like
yeah.
they don't feel that it's cold, but and at the same time during daytime, it could give them more shade. Like,
okay.
Oh, that's cool, you know, like.
Wow, is Russia kind of the same? Like, do people fix things a lot here?
In countryside, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Really, if you go there, you can see something like really old, but people keep fixing everything, you know, just like, just really Russian people like use the imagination a lot.
Hmm.
So we do, yeah, really, if I will look back in my childhood even, I've seen lots of things that my grandfather fixed, and I was surprised because I'm like, well, like really, because nowadays lots of like young people would rather throw it out, you know, like for sure. Like,
oh, really? In the cities too, especially, or?
I think so. You know, like especially nowadays, we have like lots of things about social media, which are totally like really, and lots of young Russian people trying to pretend that they live in Europe, or like because they're trying to take this lifestyle, but like really. We have completely different mentality. I just mean sometimes European mentality doesn't work here. And like really, so you have to appreciate that you're Russian. Like I just mean like I'm really proud of that I'm Russian. When I'm traveling, I'm just like I'm proud to say that I'm from Russia, and this is like really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just think like, you know, probably when I was 20, like I was a little bit shy because of this, ashamed even, you know, like because everyone kept saying that Russia is like third world, world country, but I'm like, yes, we are, but at the same time, we're really amazing.
I can really appreciate it when you repair things. The U.S. used to be more like that, too, because of the Great Depression. During the 1930s, times were really bad, and people just never threw anything away, and they fixed what they could, and they had to live with very little. And that was like my grandparents' generation, and so they never threw anything away.
That was great, you know, like you said, like really, like a lot of moments. Do you remember, like, when your childhood, when you just used to come to your grandparents and you just open the door, and you're like, okay, what is this? Okay.
Yeah, the garage is just full of stuff.
Like. Yeah, and suddenly someone is coming up to you, like saying, like, okay, we use this this for like feeding animals. We use this one for like fixing something, and you're just like, what? Like, so that's cool. That's something like really to make me think. Think sometimes. Okay, I need to learn something from like older generation, you know, because
Totally. My grandfather was a TV repairman.
Oh.
So your TV broke and you took it in to get it fixed. And nowadays if your TV breaks you just get a new one.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't any, as far as I know, there aren't any TV repairmen anymore.
No, yeah, we have still in Russia. Yeah,
you do still here?
Yeah, because you know, like sometimes people like have not enough money, like because like really anyway, like our life is like is getting more expensive, but like Russian people have no idea sometimes how to save money. You know, like really, we have two opposite kind of people, savers. So like actually they save every single coin, and they will never spend it on anything. So that's why they would keep repairing something. Or like other people who like actually would like to buy everything around something new, you know, like brand new things. So these kind of people are like, really, it's majority nowadays, you know, like really they keep spending all the money.
Most then, people like to spend it all.
Yeah, but you know, like let's be honest, I don't know, haven't met lots of Russians while traveling. But for example, if Russian people, if they're not backpackers, you know, like okay, if they travel, for example, like to Egypt or even to Thailand or even to China to some hotels, they would like to spend as much as they could, you know, like because they're like, okay, like really we saved all this money, now we can spend it, and I'm like, okay.
Right, I haven't run into too many of them because I usually backpack and stay in cheap places. I've heard though Thailand is getting a lot of Russian tourism now, like it's really booming. That there's direct flights from Moscow to Thailand, and also China. I went to a town called Manjuli in China.
Yeah,
in
the,
I guess it's Siberia.
Kind of Russian, you know, it's like kind of Russian city.
Kind of, you know this, you know this town. Oh, okay. Have you been there?
I hadn't been there because in China I've been only in Beijing.
In where?
In Beijing. So like,
oh, Beijing?
Yeah, so I just been only in this part of China. And like I just think like, I would like to travel it one more time, but like, with a different purpose, because I went there like for work, you know, and for sure, like in this case, when you come in somewhere for work, I probably will not meet lots of nice people, because it's just like, come on, you come in here to take our job, and I'm like, no way, please.
I see. It's so different traveling for work versus just for fun.
Yeah, but it's really like, you know,
completely different mentality.
Yeah, and because you bring with you like a completely different vibes, you know, like. When you travel, you just like, you attract people and people just keep coming up to you because like, okay, you're traveling, it's interesting, tell me your story. But when you come somewhere for work, everyone just like, okay, you're trying to take my money.
Yeah.
And you're like, no way, no, just ask me how I am. What is, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know, these things, like, that's really cool.
Well, anyway, yeah, Manjuli was cool. That you could take the train from there to Beijing, and from so a lot of Russians came across the border. But the thing that I remember is the I guess it's the world's largest. I don't know how to pronounce this. Mashtroika doll.
Matryoshka vis was
Matryoshka?
Matryoshka, yeah, vis like, yeah, that's really something.
It's like five-story building. A hotel.
When you just look at it, like, okay, it's like, it's really huge, because I'm like, I kept checking in the internet all the time, because like, you know, it's like really interesting, because like 5 years ago, we've got lots of Chinese guys and girls like crossing the border and living in east part of Russia.
Oh, really?
And like nowadays our government changed the law a little bit, so that's why they had to go back. But that's really crazy. We have a lot of people speaking Chinese in the east. And it's just like... Okay.
So and a lot of Chinese who speak Russian, too, and near the border.
Yeah.
I went to this one little village on the Chinese side where you could see a little village on the Russian side.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And they had filmed, I think, a TV show or maybe a movie there where the... It was almost like a Romeo and Juliet kind of story, where there was a Chinese girl living on her side of the river, and she met a Russian guy who lived on the Russian side, and they had this kind of forbidden romance, and it was a really popular show, I guess. So a lot of Chinese tourists go there to check out this town.
Well, that's really sweet.
it was interesting, and that was kind of the first time I ever saw Russia. I was like, oh, okay. That's Russia! Wow. I could stare at it across the river and go, yeah, okay, this is it. Someday I'll set foot in this country. And now I'm here.
That's great, you know. Just, I'm so glad that you like it, because like I can see that you actually like it.
Yeah, it's so far so good.
That's really great, you know, because I really appreciate these things, because I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's only been a few days though, so.
But anyway, you know, like really a few days sometimes is enough. Unless you come somewhere, just like, no, it's not my kind of country.
So oh, I haven't gotten that feeling yet. No, okay, not at all. But it's just such a huge country that...
Yeah, it just...
It's a little overwhelming, actually, just thinking about traveling around and just kind of planning it all out. But the good thing now is we've got our train tickets, so we just have to make sure we get in the station at the right time, and then I think the rest will just be pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, I think it will be, like, anyway, you have everywhere people just like... would like to help, even if not by English, they will try to show you everything, you know, like really. It's
hopefully
like, it's like I'm pretty sure in this, you know, like just use your body language. I don't know, like,
a lot of body language. So far I've been pointing a lot,
like,
and just tapping things like I want that.
So that's like you will be good and a little professional, so like by the time when you'll be back, you'll be like, okay, professional and pointing. Why not?
You learn quickly when you're in a country where the you don't speak the language and the people don't speak your language. It's you learn quickly how easy it is. Not easy, but not easy to have a deep conversation, but easy to have a basic, get your point across. I want to go here, or I would like this, or can I have some water, whatever.
Yeah, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, you're really lucky because you have someone to travel with. That's really cool. Like, you know, so you just, you're not by yourself. Because sometimes when you're while traveling, yeah, it's really cool to come to other culture and to, like, to actually dive into this culture.
Sure.
But, like, when you have someone who really understands you, like, your language, your mentality, everything, that's really cool. So you're a really lucky one.
It is. It's great. There's a lot of really great benefits to having a companion with you when you travel. Yeah. There's also some great benefits to traveling alone. It's just, you're so much more approachable when you're by yourself. People want to come up and talk to you all the time.
You know, like, this is true, but, like, really, the thing that I admire a lot, you know, when I'm traveling by myself is actually, you just, like, start missing your home because no one can talk to you. No one can understand what you feel. And especially when you just stop somewhere for kind of long time, you're just like, okay, like, really, I don't know what to do. And people just cannot understand what you feel.
It's true, it can get lonely. They don't understand where you're coming from. Yeah, it's totally true. And then you start, I fully agree, you start missing home a little bit, so that's the downside. And you don't, the really bad thing is when you go back home, you can't share your stories with anyone.
Yeah, and because for you, they sound cool, and for the rest of people, like, it's something like fairy tale, you know, like they've never been in these conditions, and they're just like, okay, like, really, sounds cool. But you're like, come on, just like, really, it's something that changed me a lot, but... That's why, actually, you know, like, we've got here, even here in Russia, we've got some, like, travel clubs.
Oh, okay.
So, like, where people just, who's been traveling pretty much, they really would like to share their experience. And just, like, I just now realized why. Because these people, all these people would like to share their experience with people who will understand them. Uh-huh. Like in this case, well,
they'll travel with like a tour group.
All these guys that travel by themselves, and after this, we just like have some meetings all across Russia, you know, like, and you can join any of them, like really, and just share your experience.
And they're only for Russians or for everybody?
They speak English for sure. Like they speak English, so we can just actually join these clubs wherever you will be.
Oh, okay. Do they have a website or how do they
meet? Yeah, you know, usually like I think like you can find them in Couchsurfing.
Oh, Couchsurfing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So like they actually like making them meetings everywhere. For example, like I found some. Something like this here in St. Petersburg by Facebook. Like really, I was like, okay, just looking through, and I've seen some events coming up, and like, oh, that's interesting. And the really guys who like been traveling a lot, they were like, we would like to share our experience. And if you've been traveled or you're just interested in traveling, uh-huh. you can just come to us. And that's really incredible feeling when you can talk to these people, because they keep sharing the experience and they're like inspiration.
Sure. Okay. We'll try to make the couch surfing meeting before we catch our train tomorrow night. I think we can make it to the beginning of it.
Yeah, I think like it's gonna be cool. It's just like all the time can feel free to text these guys and say, "Come on, we will be in the beginning." So I think they would show up earlier, so it will be okay.
Have you gone to that one ever?
To be honest, for this couch surfing, no. But really, like I think I might try, because that's really great.
When I used to live in Wisconsin in the States, we had probably at least once a month we had a meeting of some sort. We had a potluck, maybe everybody brings some food and have a little party,
meet
at a bar maybe. And it's great. Yeah, it's a great way to meet local people who also are into travel and hear their stories, hear about new places, and then when you're traveling, you can meet other travelers that way too.
No, it's like it's actually like actually here sometimes we have like, you know, I told you yesterday probably about the like longest bar street that we've got in the city, and like really this place of like meeting place for all travelers. I just mean like there are lots of young local guys and girls who are actually interested in something new, and lots of foreigners who come in there.
Okay.
And that's really cool, you know, this place, and like you just make this kind of bar crawling, like, but it's not even about getting drunk, it's about getting drunk from experience. Because like it's really cool, and just you can meet there like lots of people who are like, okay, like really, I've been there, okay, why not?
I guess, yeah, I think I get where you're coming from, not the being drunk, but the meeting people by getting drunk or something like that.
You know, why not? Like, it's kind of experience, you know? Like, and anyway, people keep calling like Russia like really a country for alcoholics, but it's not true. But like, anyway.
Right.
You know, like everyone, like it's one of the biggest stereotypes that Russians keep drinking a lot.
It sure is.
But you know, like, we actually not. We like Russians don't drink that much, you know, like I just mean like, yeah, it's like because of population probably, you know, because we have like really lots of people, and it seems like we actually drink a lot, but no.
Not as much as the reputation is.
Yeah, as people like expect, you know, and sometimes I really think when people keep coming here, they think that they will see like all Russians walking around like drunk, like till the death or wasted, you know, but like I'm just...
I haven't seen that at all yet.
Yeah,
so in fact, Katie and I went to the supermarket last night at like maybe 9:30, and the alcohol section was closed.
Yeah, we have this law now. Like, it's actually you cannot buy alcohol after like 9:30 or even like 10 p.m.
Something like that.
So.
Right. So they even have laws here, and I didn't expect that at all.
You know, we got like one city here in Russia. It's like it's called Tula. It's right next to Moscow, and so they stopped selling alcohol like at 6 p.m.
Really?
And like because my aunt was living there, and she's like, okay guys, like really it's impossible for you to buy anything like after 6, and we're like, really?
Wow, that's so really early.
Yeah, like really, so like you can imagine, like, but in this case some people like actually have to buy a lot more, like, you know, a little bit earlier, you know, like just in case.
I guess that's how I see it, right? You just stock up.
Yeah.
Buy a lot of it a couple days in advance.
Yeah, so
when you have those kind of laws.
And so it's like it never stops, you know, like, and they keep checking documents, you know, like, so just like they keep asking for your passport, because we can drink here only when you turn 18.
Oh, okay.
So not even 21. So like, well, since you're 18, you can smoke, you can drink, And I think you probably seen that how many people here like look a lot younger. Yes, like, and they've been asked for their passports all the time. Like really, when you like you're 27 and you still look like 20, people just like, how old are you? Like, I'm 27. I don't believe you. And you're just like, okay.
So you still have to show your ID then?
Yeah, but yeah. You know that's really crazy. That's really strange, but. At the same time, okay, like if it's kind of respect for law, okay, why not? Like it's not a problem at all, you know. Like,
yeah, fair enough. And what about smoking? Do a lot of people smoke here?
You know, yeah, like, but for the past few years, I think the situation changed a lot. So, like yeah. People, like lots of people just turned into vegans, you know, like really they stopped eating meat, they stopped drinking, they stopped smoking. That's really incredible. And like, it's something that like seems like not really natural and not really common for Russians, but nowadays you can find everywhere some like vegetarian cafe, like, and lots of them like free stuff, and the most part of people, if you'd ask them are you vegetarians, they will say yes.
So it's a new trendy thing kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a pretty good country to come to if you're vegetarian then.
Huh? Yeah, you know,
like some places it's hard, man. It's hard.
You
to,
know, it's really vegetarian friendly. That's really true. And I just mean, yeah, we've got some places. For example, like I told you about Kazan, like our Muslim like capital. So there, for sure, they eat there lots of meat.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can find them something vegetarian all over the country. So like, it's not a big problem. It's not a big deal.
Okay. And the smoking thing, I thought I'd see more of it. I do see it, but not as much as I thought. Can you smoke in bars here? Or restaurants?
No, you have to go smoke outside. That's why lots of people stop smoking, you know, especially during winter time. It's really cold.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. Huh. You know, like it's really strange, but it's really funny. I think like for the past 3 years, like people stop smoking a lot. And they're just like, okay, it's freezing outside or it's raining, because like for the past few days you've seen it's been raining pretty much, like really, it's like every single day.
Oh, it's just been non-stop rain. Until today it's cloudy still and overcast, but luckily we haven't gotten rain done yet.
Yeah, like, and actually you don't feel that it's like summertime, but like it's August, you know, it's really
it is
like
August. What's the temperature now, like 17 maybe?
Probably 15, 17,
yeah. Like mid-50s Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
It's cold, man.
And you know, like, and actually visiting now, like in the warmest place ever, you know, like because we're like really close to Nevsky, and Nevsky Prospect is like is really one of the warmest places in St. Petersburg. So I just think if you will go a little bit on the north, like really just to other districts, it's gonna be like really a lot colder.
Oh, noticeably colder?
Yeah, like it's because the most part of the city like located right all along embankment, like right close to bay, you know, Finnish Bay. It's like really, so it's like it's really kind of cold there.
Wow.
And just like, oh goodness, like it's ridiculous.
It's normally warmer, huh?
It's like
in
really,
summer.
You know, by this time we're walking in shorts and t-shirts and like, and that's really cool. Everyone just chilling, laying on the grass. But now, like, everyone just walking around and they are like autumn clothes already.
Yeah, I've been wearing pants and I have a jacket on and I'm still pretty cold. You have a sweater on or a long sleeve shirt on. And
yeah, and I still like feel okay. I think that's not raining, but it's like it's really cold. I told you, when it's been snowing this year, that's really cool. Like,
snow in the summer, right?
Yeah, it was like really in the end of July.
In St. Petersburg, it was snowing?
So,
wow.
Like, you know, you can imagine, you come in here, like it's really like it's middle of summer, like summertime, like school vacation, school holiday, everything's cool. And then it's snowing and just sitting and thinking like, what's going on, man? Why?
Totally. So are winters really harsh here? Really cold?
You know, in St. Petersburg, like it's actually when it's minus 10, it's like it's pretty cold. It's really cold, especially when it's not snowy. When it's like minus 25, it's okay, like because it's gonna be snow. It's like it's okay. You can play snowballs. That's really, it's really great fun here.
Oh, that's similar to Wisconsin then, where I'm from.
Oh,
if it hits maybe minus 10 would be normal in January, which would be in Fahrenheit maybe 20, 15 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
10 degrees maybe.
Yeah.
Because we have a different temperature system in the States. But then once it gets below like minus 15 to 20 Celsius, then it's like, yeah. Okay, now it's cold.
Yeah. Yeah. like it's still okay, you know. I just mean, yeah, that's really cool. I just like the way everything looked during the winter time. That's
yeah,
really
me
incredible.
Too. Me too.
You know, like you feel like you, it's like fairy tale all the time. Like it's miracles. You're like, yay, that's great. Everything right. Like it's shining around. Cause like really.
I like it when there's a lot of snow and it's a proper cold. It's yeah. not. Like when it's just above freezing and it's kind of rainy, that that sucks.
Oh yeah, like you know, I just really hope that we're not gonna have like some winter time till October, you know, like because like if this year everything keeps changing, so I'm just scared. I'm like,
oh, you think it's gonna come early this year?
Probably, you know, because I don't know. Like last year, it started snowing like in October and whole November it was snowing, but. By the time I came back, like in December, it was just raining. So you can imagine, I came like from sunny country, and suddenly I'm like, okay, what's this? Like really, It was dark, it was raining, and I couldn't understand what like it's actually winter time.
Oh, weird.
So because it starts snowing like pretty heavy only in like in the end of January.
Uh huh.
So, but it was ridiculous cold. So I was like, no way, like. So, but this year, I hope that we'll have normal fall, you know, normal winter, and next year, like, normal summer, like, but I'm not sure.
Right. Well, let's hope so. We'll start heading down toward into Mongolia at the end of September, so hopefully it stays kind of warm until then, at least.
Yeah, you know, I feel it will, like, really, because, okay, let's be honest, like, for example, in Altai, like, in the beginning of October, it's still going to be, like, plus 15. Yeah, like, it's...
Sure. That's not bad. That's, yeah, like now. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, it's okay. And, okay, during nighttime, it can be around minus one, but, like, it's still okay. But, like, in Mongolia, like, it's pretty warmer a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, so, like, in this case, I think it's going to be good.
I hope this is a good plan. We'll head south as it gets colder, so it stays kind of warm, and then... By the time it gets to winter, we'll be in the tropics where it's just hot all the time.
Oh, okay.
That's our plan anyway.
So like, that's great, you know, like you're lucky enough. So you can see the like season changing, you know, it's really cool. Also, I think you will see it anyway.
In a way, yeah. I kind of miss that from where we're from. We do get four very distinct seasons. And Beijing's just not quite the same where we've lived the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Winters are pretty cold there, but it doesn't snow really.
Yeah, but like it's like for them like it's incredibly cold, but for you just like okay, it's cold, but like where is my snow?
Yeah, right. Where is it? And it's like it's not that cold. It's just a little below zero Celsius, okay. So not super cold. Anyway, we should wrap this up. Katie's gonna cook some dinner for us tonight, and or for us.
Cool. Okay,
I don't know if you'd be interested in joining, or...
I'm just, like, you know, I'm all the time, like, interested in food.
Always food, yeah.
I'm in food and people, you know, like, it's, like, traveling, food, people. It's, like, something, like, three things that I'm interested in.
When you've got those three things, you've got a pretty good life.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, maybe a glass of wine to go with it. And,
yeah, you know.
You know, there's not much to complain about at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, like, we're really happy ones. We, like, we have potential to travel and have potential to meet... different people every time, like exchange experience. That's really cool. So you can share all your vibes and you can get it back.
All right, Natalia. Well, thanks for talking to me. Okay. And if people want to get in touch with you to learn about these tours, what's the website again?
It's unitedtours.org. So you can find it pretty easy.
Thank you once again to Natalia Klimova for coming on the show, and thank you for listening. For more information on the places I've been and to look at some of my photos of Russia, you can always go to my website, which is 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next week.